I want to talk about our souls this morning, and in particular, I want to talk about how much the Lord cares about our souls, the concern that He has for our souls. If you're here and you're not a Christian, or maybe you don't know if you are one or not, I hope that you'll pay special attention to the things that we have to say from God's Word this morning. I want to talk about the Lord's concern for our souls. In Luke chapter 13, and verse 34, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Look at what Jesus says. Here He is crying out to this beloved city. He's saying that He wants to protect them, offering them protection. But the problem is that they don't want it. They're not willing to receive it on His terms. Historically speaking, Jerusalem was a very rebellious city. And despite their wickedness, killing the prophets, stoning those who were sent to her, Jerusalem had received God's mercy and God's love for generations. You turn over a few chapters in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, and Jesus made similar comments regarding the city of Jerusalem on another occasion. Look here, Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 41. "Now as He drew near, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" Jesus saw the city. He wept over the city because He knew what was going to happen to it. And everything that Jesus says in verses 43 and 44 happened just 40 years later when the Roman army surrounded the city Jerusalem and leveled it. The historians say that the blood flowed out of that city like a river when Rome destroyed it. Jesus wept over this city because He offered to protect them, but they refused. They were not willing to receive. The only obstacle to their deliverance was themselves. And the same thing is true to us personally to this very day. God wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants everyone to be saved, and God is patient and allows us the opportunity to come to Him on His terms. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants us to be saved, gives us an opportunity to be saved. You know, as much as Jesus wanted to save Jerusalem, He still had to respect their free will. They needed deliverance, but they weren't willing. They wouldn't have it. And the same thing is true with you and with me. As much as Jesus wants to save us, He's going to respect our free will. Many simply are not willing to come to Jesus in order to be saved. I want to talk this morning about the Lord's concern for our souls. How much He cares about you and about me. And we need to do this because from time to time we go through the valleys of life and we begin to wonder, does anyone care? Does anyone really care about me? Does God really care about me? Does He really care about my soul? Well, He does. And I want to tell you, there's a way that we can know for certain that Jesus cares about our soul. How can I know Jesus cares for my soul? Well, number one, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus cares about my soul because of the life that He lived. When I go back and I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I read about the life that He lived, I know that He cares about my soul. The very reason that Jesus came into this world, the very life that He lived, was because he cares about my soul and wants to save my soul. This was proclaimed about Jesus even before his birth. If you turn to Matthew chapter 1, we'd read here about Joseph, who learns that Mary, his betrothed wife, is with child, and his desire is to put her away. He's going to do it privately without bringing shame to her, but he's going to put her away. And an angel appears unto Joseph in a dream and tells him not to do it. He says that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Before Jesus was even born, his purpose for coming into this world was announced. He's going to save people of their sins. Jesus proclaimed this while he was here upon this earth. In Luke chapter 19 and at verse 10, when he was at the house of Zacchaeus, Jesus said that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Mark chapter 10 and at verse 45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, that's why I've come, to give myself for others, to seek and to save those who were lost. And after Jesus left this earth, his apostles proclaimed that that's why he came. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus came, to save sinners. And then Paul adds of himself, of whom I am chief. Anyone can be saved. But that's why Jesus came, to save sinners. That explains the urgency of his work. In John chapter 9 and at verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. And when Jesus was upon the cross, his very last words before he died in John 19 and verse 30, it is finished. When he died, he did what he came to do. How do I know Jesus cares about me? How do I know he cares about my soul? Because of the life that he lived. But I know also because of his death. I know that he cares about my soul because of his death. In Romans chapter 5, at verses 6 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Does God care about me? Does Jesus care about me? Does he care about my soul? He died for me while I was still in sin. That shows his love that he has for me. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, talks about Jesus coming into this world knowing that he had to die. Verses 1 through 4 make the point that the blood of bulls and goats that were shed under the law of Moses, they can't atone for sin. They can't take care of sin. So we start at verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, when Jesus came into the world, notice what prophecy says. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Now take note of that. A body, a flesh and blood body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. When Jesus came into this world, he came and he took on a body that had been prepared for one reason. The will of God, here at the very end of verse 7, the will of God was that that body accomplish something. Now let's read on. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus came, he took on that body, knowing what that body would do. It would be nailed to the cross, and it would die, so that my sins could be washed away. Jesus came to do the will of His Father, to die on the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. He took on that body. Coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In Matthew at chapter 26, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays that the cup would pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When Jesus died on the cross, it was in obedience to his Father. And why did he have to die on the cross? Because that's the only hope that you and I had for receiving the forgiveness of our sins. How do I know Jesus cares about my soul? Every Lord's Day, whenever I partake the Lord's Supper, I'm reminded of his death. It's in his death that I know that he cares about my soul. But it's more than just his death. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, his death would not have accomplished anything for my soul. I know Jesus cares about my soul because of his resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the entirety of this chapter deals with the Lord's, deals with the subject of the resurrection. Much of it is talking about our own resurrection from the dead. But there's some verses here in the middle that talk about our Lord's resurrection. Look here in chapter 15 and at verse 17. It says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Get that. If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, if he hadn't come forth from the grave, then he wouldn't have conquered death. And if he hadn't conquered death, he would not have conquered sin. But he came forth from the grave, he conquered death, and he conquered sin. Look at verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. If he hadn't risen from the dead, our faith would be nothing. We might as well go home. There's no reason to be here. But he has risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. What do you mean by man death? By man resurrection of the dead. Verse 22. In Adam all died. Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There's the difference. In Adam, through sin, we have death. But in Christ, through his resurrection, we have life. Through his resurrection, we can have eternal life. How do I know Jesus cares for my soul? Because he rose from the dead. There's one more thing that I want to look at. We look at his life that he lived. We can read of that in the scriptures. We look at his death. We look at his resurrection. We read of that in the scriptures. But have you ever thought, what's Jesus doing right now? We know that when Jesus left this earth, he ascended up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. But what's Jesus doing right now? Well, we know that he is there at the right hand of the Father reigning as king. We saw that as we studied in Revelation a little bit this morning. And we know from passages like Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, he is actively holding all things together in this material universe. All things are held together by him. There's something else very important that Jesus is doing right now, and that is he's making intercession for us. He is interceding on our behalf. Jesus lives to help us serve God and get to heaven. That's how I know he cares about my soul. Because of what he's doing right now, this very hour, he lives to help me serve God and go to heaven. Hebrews chapter 7 at verse 25. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Let me tell you, if you're not coming to God through Jesus Christ, through him, you're not going to get to God. There's no other way to get to God than through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I know this world is full of different kinds of religions, and I know that many of the participants and advocates of those religions are good and sincere people, but they're not going through Christ, and they're not going to find God. He we are able to save, or therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is why Jesus lives. That is what Jesus is doing now. He's interceding on our behalf. When we sin and we pray unto God for forgiveness, Jesus helps us to secure that forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 tell us that he is a good and faithful and merciful intercessor or high priest. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And in chapter 4, starting at verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus lives to make intercession on our behalf. When we sin, we have an advocate. We have someone who will go before God on our behalf. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus lives to make intercession for us. That's how I know Jesus cares about my soul and cares about your soul. The life he lived, the death he died, how he rose from the dead, how he lives to make intercession for us. Jesus cares about our soul. I can put my finger on the book, chapter, and verse, and I can know that Jesus cares. That brings up another question I want to look at for just a few moments. And that is, why does Jesus care about my soul? In Psalm 8 and verse 4, the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is it about us that gets the attention of our Creator? That gets the attention of God? Why does he care about us? Well, let's make it personal. Why does he care about me? And why does he care about you? Why does Jesus care about your soul? I want to suggest three things. I know there are many more, but I want to suggest three reasons why Jesus cares about your soul. Number one, Jesus cares about our soul because he knows the value of our soul. Turn to Matthew at chapter 16. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 16. Now, while we're turning there, I want to bring to your attention, I don't know if you watch these shows or not, but these pawn shop shows on television. That's one of the many new reality show phenomena that are on. And you've got the pawn shop show from Las Vegas, but I've seen Cajun Pawn from, I think it's Shreveport, Louisiana, where that outfit is from, and one from Detroit, and these other shows. And people bring in these things, the owner of the pawn shop, he'll offer him some money, but sometimes he's not quite sure what he has there. And you know what he says, right? He says, you know, I've got a buddy who's an expert in these kind of things, and would you mind if I gave him a call and he could come and look at this and we could know just exactly what we're looking at? Got an expert. Got a buddy who's an expert in these things. How about our soul? What kind of a value would you place upon your soul? How much is it worth to you? You know, with Esau, his birthright was worth the dinner. And afterward, he regretted that he gave away his birthright for that amount. But there are many people who are willing to trade their eternal soul for much, much less. What kind of a value would you place upon your soul? You know what? I've got a Savior who's an expert in this area. Would you mind if I call him in and let him take a look at this and tell us just exactly what it's worth? Jesus says in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? According to Jesus, the soul of one individual, and that's you, the soul of one individual is worth more than everything else in the entire world put together. Jesus knows the value of the soul. Why is our soul most important? Why is it the most valuable thing that we have? Friend, because in the end, it's the only thing that we're going to have. Naked we came into this world, and naked we'll leave it. Our children and grandchildren will fight over the things that we leave behind. We're not taking a bit of it with us. This body is going to be put in the ground. The only thing that we're going to have is our eternal soul. It's going to be the most valuable thing that we have. Why does Jesus care about my soul? Because He knows its worth. He knows its value. He knows it's worth more than everything else in the world. He also knows the need of the soul. Our soul is in need. Why is that? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every one of us has sinned. We're all on an equal playing field, level playing field. We've all sinned. What's the big thing about that? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So what do we get for sin? Death. Well, no, we don't drop dead immediately after we commit the first sin, but we're subject to physical death because of sin. But there's more than just physical death to be considered, and that is spiritual death. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." Our sin separates us from God. Spiritually, we're dead. Spiritually, we're separated from the Father of spirits. We're separated from that source of eternal life. Spiritually, we're dead. Jesus knows what's at stake. He says the scriptures say the wages of sin is death. But if we continue Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus knows the need of the soul, and He satisfies that need. He paid that penalty when He died on the cross, when He shed His blood. He secured that salvation when He rose from the dead. He knows the need of my soul. And finally, He knows the destiny of my soul. When we die, this physical body is going to return to dust. Our loved ones are going to put it in the ground. But our soul is going to live on forever. Now, the scriptures teach there's only one of two places where our soul can spend eternity. There's not an in-between state. There's one of two places. We can either go to heaven and be with God forever, or we can go to hell with the devil and his angels and be tormented forever. Here's the thing. If when we die, we are separated from God, spiritually dead because of our sins, when we die, we can't go and be with God in heaven because we're separated from Him. And that leaves only one place, and that's hellfire. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives us a picture of the final judgment. He says that all nations are going to be brought before Him. When the Son of Man comes, verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left." See, there's only two groups. There's not several, there's only two. "And the king will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" But the other group, verse 41, "Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You see, Jesus knows the destiny of man's soul. He wants desperately to save our souls, just as He wanted desperately to save Jerusalem. Are we willing? Are we willing to let Him? In Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. What's the first death? The first death is that separation from God. What's the second death? That second death is being cast into the lake of fire. It's that eternal separation from God in hell fire. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If we die separated from God, that will be our fate. But Revelation 22 verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." See, Jesus knows the destiny of the soul. He knows what awaits us. And so as He was here preaching, He was telling men to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus spoke of hell more than anyone else in the Bible. He knows what's at stake. Why does Jesus care about my soul? He knows the value of my soul even when I don't. He knows the need of my soul even when I don't. He knows the destiny of my soul even when I don't. And so He pleads in His Word, just as He pled with Jerusalem. He pleads with you and with me to be saved from this perverse generation. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because He saw its coming destruction. And He has the same concern for our souls because He knows that hell's fire is real. He knows that that is the destiny of the soul that will not have Him. I tell you, Jesus cares for my soul. He cares for our souls. I know this because of the life that He lived, because of the death that He died, because He rose from the dead, because He lives to help me serve God and go to heaven. I know He cares about my soul because He knows the value of my soul. He knows the need of my soul. He knows the destiny of my soul. Jesus cares for our souls. Here's the question. Do we care about our souls? I'm convinced that if we cared about our soul as much as Jesus does, there's not a person who would be lost. We would all have the proper motivation to come to Him to find our soul's salvation. Jesus offered deliverance. He offered protection to Jerusalem. They had to accept Him. They weren't willing to do that. Jesus offers salvation to us, but it's on His terms, and we have to accept it. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized in water. Not because I say to, but because Jesus says to. You'll receive the forgiveness of your sins. If you wandered away from the Lord, repent and come back to Him. Jesus cares about your soul. Do you care enough to do what He says? We'll find out. Come as we stand and sing this song.